Would you like to join me in opening your Bibles to read the Word? If you're in the pews, in the Bibles in front of you, in the Red Bible, the NIV Bible, you'll find the reading on page 961, and in the Black Bible on page 1013. Red Bible 961, Black Bible 1013. Today's reading comes from Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take that speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Amen.
Keep running the Shrek video, but that's okay. You can tell John Gray later. He wouldn't let us see all of it. I don't know. I hope some of you have actually seen Shrek. If not, it's actually one of the hard things when you think of life, this issue about not judging people. Or judging people before they even know us or know me. And Jesus has been in a situation we've been learning over the last few weeks. He's been talking to a whole range of people about their attitudes on what they're to be like. And he comes to this part of that famous Sermon on the Mount series and says right up front in Matthew 7 verse 1, do not judge or you will be judged. And that's a huge thing to say to the culture back then. Because what was happening is that people called the Pharisees and the scribes, religious type people, had really become super critical of others. And especially others who were different. And especially others who did things a different way. And they even probably started to develop a group called sinners. And so that there were the sinners. And here are we. And often we lose perspective, it seems to me, when we think about what others are like. And we start to get super critical about all sorts of things. And we need to actually repent of that and to think through those things. And we're going to do that. And I'm going to pray about that. And we're going to look at that whole issue about judging others. Because my guess is there's even people here today. In their life, they've been judged by others. And that's been very hurtful. And my guess is maybe in the last week, someone has judged you. Maybe even your husband or wife or your child. Maybe even on the way to this building this morning, something happened and you said something and someone has pointed the finger at you and has been harsh to you, and that's broken your spirit. Because I think we'd all say, has anyone here this morning ever been judged in the past? Put your hand up. Go on. Have you ever had a critical thing said to you? And one of the realities of that is actually it crushes your spirit and it actually starts to impact you, and the likelihood of you taking another risk, the likelihood of you taking another step to try something is lessened. And the more it happens, the less likely it is. And so I just want to pray this morning and ask you to bow your heads as we see if we can actually work through this together. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a gracious God. We thank you that you give us so much for this life and indeed the beautiful gift of eternal life for the life after this. And Father, we ask this morning that you might help us look at ourselves and work through the issues that we have before we boldly point the finger at others. Father, we acknowledge that we are far from perfect, and so may we learn from you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. That the more you start to talk to others and the more you start to say, well, we shouldn't be judgmental, actually I think people start to well up inside and start to become judgmental about someone who's saying they shouldn't be judgmental and start to think, well, I should say this or I shouldn't say that. And it seems to me, and I try to avoid mentioning sport or politics today, because every day in the print media, on TV, I hear people all the time criticising everyone about anything. Wouldn't matter whether it was a Liberal government, a Labor government, the Democrats, wouldn't matter if it was George Bush or Tony Blair, wouldn't matter if it was Andrew Johns, Rugby League, Rugby Union. At some point, there is someone always saying, you shouldn't have done that and I would have done that. And maybe as we're talking about this critical spirit today, maybe you're looking around thinking, gee, I wish Bill was here today because he really needs to hear this message. who needs to hear that. Maybe some husbands are sitting there thinking, gee, I hope my wife listens to this. You know, she'll get off my back finally and stop picking all the faults in me. Maybe there are teenagers here thinking, gee, I hope mum and dad are listening. Gee, they've been on my back about my bedroom for so long. And I hope they listen. Well, it's not about those things when Jesus talks about do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use. Hear that clearly. I don't know if that sounds really loud to you. It sounds really loud to me. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So be very careful if you're living a life right now where you feel you have all the answers, where you know everyone totally, where you've placed yourself in the position of judge, and you are really quite happy to cast aspersions towards other people. Because as you do that, and as you show no mercy, as you show no love, as you show no generosity, my friends, the Bible is saying that measure will be used against you. It's a very powerful word. I wouldn't want to say that the people listening to this way back then when Jesus first said it were overly comfortable as he was saying this to them. I think they would have been, you know, prior to this point, quite anxious. Jesus had said lots of things to the people there. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Now he's saying, do not judge others. And we're going to figure out a bit more about what that means. So I just want to say a couple of things about what it's not. It's not as if I can picture the scene, because I have teenagers done the same thing. You know, if you have teenagers, they live in their bedrooms and they tend to look a certain way. If I could just be gracious to say it like that without being critical. And you encourage them to do something about the particular state it's in. And they might turn around and say, don't be judgmental, Dad. You know, you're a minister. You shouldn't judge me. Well, it's not about that. Or you want to make a comment about the girlfriend they're going out with or something, or about the friend they want to go and drink with. And you want to make a comment, no, don't be judgmental, Dad. Don't say the wrong thing to me in that situation. Well, it's not about that. What is on view here is about having a supercritical spirit, a fault-finding, nitpicking, annoying, day-in, day-out type attitude where you just keep pointing the finger at someone. And maybe there are people here who actually think being critical is a gift from God, and so you need to exercise that gift every minute of every day. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. That's on one contrast. And the other contrast that comes here is the whole nature of being permissive. Never saying anything and letting people do whatever they like. That is not on view either. Okay, that is not being said here either. So we are called to use wisdom and discernment as we live our lives. Okay, so the principle though is do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured against you. And that's a promise from Scripture. Some people, I said this morning, are, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, it doesn't matter, wherever you go, whatever you do, life will just, no, that's wrong. That's a wrong attitude. If you see a fellow brother or sister come to you with a concern, or someone comes to you for advice, you actually should give them some advice if they've come to you to ask that. You shouldn't just say, oh, it doesn't matter, off you go. So that's one extreme. But again, do not judge others. And I think as Australians, if I could pick on Australians for just a moment and just help us reflect on what it's like to be in our country, I think as a country, dare I say as a culture, as a people, we are very critical, I think, of others. It just seems to be something that is in us. Often, Christians, if I could just reflect on being a Christian, Australian Christians can be very critical of other Christians. I'll just take it a step further, if you allow me. Australian Christians who happen to be part of the Anglican Church, we can, of all people, be super critical of people who do things differently. And I'm sure I'm only talking to people who are outside this building this morning, because I know you're not like that. But I've just noticed in my over 10 years of ministry experience in the Anglican Church now that many people feel it's a God-given right to criticise other Christians, and especially other Christians who do things differently, Won't it be amazing when we get to heaven and we look around and get this, and there's going to be different people there? Wow! You know, I'm sure it was, I've forgotten who it was, but you know, it's not as if we're going to have all the Anglicans on the left and then all the on the right. And we need to assess our own heart before you accuse me. Take a look in yourself. If you recently walked past a mirror and just thought you'd straighten your tie up and preen your hair and walk around like a peacock and thinking, wow, am I good? Next time you walk past a mirror, can you look at that mirror and say, wow, I better be careful about making the judgments that I've been making. There's a lady, a dear lady, who taught me a good lesson in life many years ago, and it came down to the finger pointing thing. Just point your finger. Can you point your finger at me? Be generous. It's okay. I'm giving you permission to point your finger at me. Come on, guys. You're slow. And she said, Ian, just be very careful when you point your finger at people. There are three fingers being pointed back at you. You try it. And every time I look out there and say, you're wrong, I am three times worse. Three times worse. And I've always found that to be a helpful reminder when I talk to people, who are in the church, outside of the church. And when I want to point fingers and say, you're wrong, you shouldn't have done that, I'm always reminded, wow, I'm three times worse than that. Why is that important? Because, my friends, I do not know the whole story of someone's life. Would that not be a fair thing to say? I do not know your background. I do not know the issues that you have to face each and every day, nor do you know mine. And so we have to be humble and generous enough to be very careful before we start judging others in a hypercritical sense in that way. And especially fellow believers. And especially when we see people do things or raise their hands or pray and all sorts of things, just the little things we can be critical of. I wonder how many this morning were sort of following someone into the car park and you think, I wish they'd hurry up. I'm late, I've got to get there to the car, gee. I wonder how many, even before you got out of bed this morning, just turned the radio on and you started to have a critical spirit of something. It is so easy to do, isn't it? Yes, says the congregation. Unwillingly. We have to be very aware that we are not called to be fault finders. We are not God. We do not know the whole picture of anyone's life. I've been married now for over 20 years, my friends. I don't even know the whole picture of my wife's life. I learn more and more things the longer I live with her. But I find it so easy if I put on my video of my life the number of times that I've criticised her over things, or my own children over little things. And the little things, the things that are inconsequential, it might be hair colour. Our sons went through the, you know, the change the hair colour idea. You know, blue is good. No, blue is not good. What are you doing? If your grandfather was alive today and he saw you too, you know. And my dear sweet wife, it's all right, Ian, hair will change. It will grow out. Or earrings. Or tattoos. I wonder how many of us, we see people with certain tattoos, we instantly make a judgment of what they're like. No, you don't do that? Praise the Lord for that. We see people, we think things, and we draw conclusions. Oh. And not only do we draw conclusions, we have that work out in our head, it goes to our heart, and that affects our behaviour towards them. It affects our behaviour in such a sense that we will not talk to them. We will not cross the road. We will not offer a helping hand. We will sit back and say, look at that person. We'll hear something on the radio, and someone will be talking, ringing up an unemployed young man, and you'll hear some guy say, typical lazy Australian, you should have a job. I had a job when I was your age. And then we hear that list of things about what I would have done. I can't sit back and say why someone might be unemployed or struggling in their marriage. I don't know those things. I'm married to a Christian woman. I do not know what it would be like to be married to someone who is not a Christian. How dare I tell you what it's like, let alone tell you what you should do? I don't know what it's like to be raised in a single household with one parent, or to have brothers and sisters who struggle, and all sorts of things. We need to be very careful. Do not judge. Mahatma Gandhi said this, I can truthfully say that I'm slow to see the blemishes of fellow beings, being myself full of them, and therefore being in need of their charity. I have learnt not to judge anyone harshly and to make allowances for defects that I may detect. I can truthfully say that I'm slow to see the blemishes of fellow beings. Why? Being full of those same blemishes. What's the golden rule that your mother and grandmother taught you all those years ago? It comes from Matthew 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. That's actually from the Bible, in case you don't know. That is so true. And for those who have been part of our church for a while and been coming over the last few weeks, Matthew 5:20 says this, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God." The whole point is that we have to be wiser and more generous than the others who are fault-finding and critical of other people. And so we need to, that speaks to us all the time. We should not be judging others, and we should not be getting in a situation where we so willingly point fault out of others. My guess is, since you came in this morning, you've been sitting in those wonderful soft pews, and apart from all the people in the front row, everyone else has been looking at the backs of their heads, the clothes they're wearing, the earrings they've got on, and saying, "Where did they get that from? Gee, look at that. Look at that haircut. Look at that coat. Whew. I wouldn't wear that if I was him. Is anyone talking about that dandruff in his hair? Gee. Shame on you. And if you're right down the back today, wow! You mean you've been sitting here all morning and you've been looking at all those people and you've been picking fault with every one of them? Oh, next Sunday, praise Lord, everyone will be down the front row. Fantastic. And I thought you were Anglicans. Gee whiz. No, Jesus is not talking about a courtroom situation. He's not talking about obvious sin where you see someone doing something wrong. No, he's not talking about that. He's not talking about false teachers where if someone is teaching not the truth or you don't speak up. No, 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 no. He's saying, do not be hypocritical. Do not have that, you heard this saying, holier than thou attitude. Do not come across as if I'm right and you are wrong. Do you know you can be right and wrong at the same time? Do you know that? You can be right and wrong at the same time. You can be right with your observation, but you can be so wrong in the way you've made it and carried it out. And I wonder how often husbands and wives do that to each other. Pick fault again and 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 do not let up. And what you're doing is crushing your partner's spirit more and more and more and more, and the saddest thing is you don't realize it. And they are breaking and internally being crushed, and we don't let up. If that's you today, and you're in that situation, and you've been dishing that out to your partner, could I say softly and quietly, stop. It brings no good to them. It brings no good to you, and it makes the situation worse, which is the point that comes from Matthew 6. Because it gets to a point that people stop listening. Would you not say that is true? And you can't take it in anymore. And you keep dishing it out and dishing it out, and people locked away long ago. You have to change in that way and be sensitive. And again, before you accuse me, take a look at yourself. Has anyone ever said that to their partner as they've been criticised over something? And you've been bold enough to say, you know, before you say that, have you looked at yourself lately? Or the father, like me, is going off at his sons and his wife comes in and saying, Ian, you're saying all that stuff. Do you know you do the same thing? No, I don't. I'd never do that. Like, they should know better. Anyhow, I'm the dad and they're not. I think the movie's Matilda. You like Matilda? I'm big, you're small. I'm right, you're wrong. We live our lives like that. Thing that we know better and we know all the answers. No. And what's worse, it comes out in Matthew 3 there. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your eye? You hypocrite. You hypocrite. You mean you're so busy pointing out the speck in my eye, and while you're doing that, this bizarro picture, as Seinfeld used to say, in a bizarro world, you've got this huge plank sticking out of your head, but you're so busy picking little faults in mine. No wonder Jesus would say to the people of the day and today, you hypocrites, don't do that. He takes it further. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Again, he's not saying don't give advice. He's again not saying don't give discernment and wisdom. But my friends, before you accuse, have you got it yet? Take a look at yourself. Take the plank out of your own eye. A brother comes to you with a speck. Ever had a splinter in your finger? A little kid comes to you with a splinter in your finger? And it's actually, you think, oh, it's only a splinter, you'll be right, go away and play. And they're still crying. What are you going to do? You're going to send them away? Or are you going to, look, I'll get it out for you? And is it ever painful when you get a little kid and you're trying to get the splinter out of their finger and they think they're going to kill you? Someone comes to you and there's something wrong, then with wisdom and grace and a gentle heart, internal change, you think through what you're going to say. And you don't say, well, this is what I'd do if I was you, you twit. Wow, how can you be so stupid? No, you don't do that. You think far more seriously than that. You want mercy shown to you, then show mercy. You want justice shown to you, then show justice. Thomas A. Kempis said this, be not angry that you cannot make others as you wish them to be, since you cannot make yourself as you wish to be. You cannot make yourself as you wish to be. Okay, so it's really important. Let me conclude. Again, Shrek said it, good old Shrek. Things are not what they seem. Things are not what they seem. A guy went to a doctor and he was in pain. And he kept saying to the doctor, 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 I'm going to die. Everywhere I touch my arm, it's sore. Every time I touch my head, it hurts. Every time I touch my stomach, it hurts. Every time I touch my leg, oh, you know. Ladies, men aren't like this, so I'm making it up, okay? Go with me? Okay, and so he's saying, oh, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. What can I do? And the doctor said, it's okay. You got, there's some good news and some bad news. The good news is you're not going to die. But the bad news is you've got a broken finger. Things are not what they seem. Don't draw conclusions when you don't know the whole facts. Give some advice and make some general observations, but be careful. Don't be a hypocrite in that way. Don't be full of pride like in Luke 18, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Thank God I'm not like that person. Thank God I'm not like that Labour voting person on the other side of Windsor Road. Thank God I'm not like that person who drives a Commodore. Wow, who'd buy a Commodore? Thank God I'm not, and on it goes and on it goes. And we are so full of ourselves. What's some of the Australian vernacular? Remember, self-praise is no praise. Do you have tickets on yourself? How much are they for sale this morning? Do you have a swelled head? Do you think you are that good that the church will fall apart without you? Do you think that you are that good that the world will stop if you aren't there? Have a real assessment of yourself. Be self-critical before you criticize others. Be self-correcting before you start to correct others. Finally, let us not judge others when we hardly know them. Let us not judge others when we do not know their own situation. Let us not judge and be uncharitable. Remember, there is always one more fact in everyone's life that you will never know. And remember, before you accuse me, take a look at yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you and you alone are a wise God. We pray for wisdom and discernment as we live our lives together. Father, may we grow with a discerning spirit and a gentle heart. In Jesus' name, amen.